Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad. Which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Sensation Salad. Only at Zaxby's.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here tonight to continue our Concerns series. And this one is about Lamar Jackson and on-schedule play. Lamar Jackson, as we know, great off-schedule quarterback, does some wonderful things very few quarterbacks can do. Joining me to talk about that is Kofi Shaw Taylor. Kofi, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great to see you again. Great to talk football with you always, Kofi. Why don't you start us off? Why did you pick this topic?
I picked this topic because I feel like it's pivotal in Lamar's development, his ability to hit the on-schedule plays that are open and available through the scheme that Monken sets up. If he's able to hit those on schedule without having to ad-lib too much, I think the balance of whether or not he can hit those, and it's a fine line for him to travel, but if he can mix the on-schedule plays with the off-schedule, I think that's the key to him taking the next level.
Completely agree, by the way, that you know, there needs a good on-schedule set of plays per game would really improve him. One of the guys who's kind of left out in terms of the off-schedule play is Bateman. Gets a few off-schedule targets occasionally, but he's a precise route runner who has wiggle at the top of the route. He loses the defensive back at that point. And if it's not a well-timed throw, Lamar is not taking advantage of that, and Bateman is, in a sense, wasted in terms of the big budget of space we give him on the left side and the opportunity just to maximize what he can do after the catch. It's kind of frustrating.
Yep. And I want to mention Pat Mahomes quickly because he doesn't have very many knocks. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the premier quarterback in the league. But last year, I think you saw the progression of him going from looking for the big play all the time. And toward the end of the season, I think he started to play more within the confines of the offense and not looking for the big play and just kind of like settling in. And sometimes that's the key. Like, I know that there's different axioms that the guys use in the coaching world. Like, you can't go broke taking a profit. And when somebody gets open in the timing of the progression and the quarterback doesn't take that, you know, he may be able to make a big play on the other side or just scramble and find a big play. But sometimes the only play depending on what's happening with the line, and sometimes the only play is to take that open receiver that happens within the 3 and 5, 7 step drop of the design play.
Right. I've got a little bit of a poker analogy, maybe a two-way one. I'll start with trying to match you up on what you just said is you make most of your money by folding in poker. So your big differences in earnings are on your good folds. They're not necessarily on, you know, when you surprise somebody with an all in. That's you know, not usually a surprise at all. You make money when you fold.
Yeah. I like that analogy because if you look at, I feel like Lamar at a poker table would be the guy that goes all in because it usually works for him. I mean, like, when Lamar goes off schedule, he's great. Like, I mean, the numbers back it up depending on, you know, what different metrics that you look at. And some of them are behind paywall, so I'm not going to go too deep in that. But on, like, when Lamar scrambles and makes a play, it usually works out. But can you live that way because especially when you get into the playoffs and the defenses have more time to scheme you up and to scheme up your tendencies, they're going to be able to force you to have to choose between these options. And sometimes you just got to like know when to fold it.
That I mean, completely agree, by the way, but I want to take a step back now because we're starting to talk about time to throw and extending plays and whatnot. And, you know, it's a really weird thing and a very misunderstood statistic generally. People look at time to throw and they think, oh, that's the amount of time the offensive line is giving him. Or, you know, Joe Burrow has a very quick time to throw. A lot of other pocket quarterbacks, they have to make their living by getting the ball out quickly, so their time to throw is low. It's not really a function of their offensive line at all. With Lamar Jackson, it's a function of escapability. It's a function of extending the play because he has two potential gains, one from throwing the ball, where he's proven to be very good with longer time to throws, where most quarterbacks are not. And the other is on scrambles, where a lot of his, you know, really dangerous value comes in terms of taking off with the football and getting first downs with his legs. So time to throw, very, very misunderstood. The mobile quarterbacks who do have longer times to throw. And Jackson, by the way, is not super extreme in this anymore. He was 10th in the National Football League in time to throw this last year at 2.95. So like Justin Fields, for example, takes a lot longer to throw the ball. Extended plays for him, he's in a great situation where his extended plays have something called redraw value in poker. And that means it's effectively this: when you have two pair and the other guy hits his flush or his straight on the turn, you still have a chance to improve to a full house on the river. That's redraw value. So it's a slight additional value you gain from that. But anyway, that's another analogy I would like to make, but the time to throw component, really misunderstood. So when you see the stat touted by anyone, I'd ask you to challenge their thinking about why is that important for him. And they probably will not know.
And I like to look at the time to throw numbers, and sometimes they're different depending on which place that you look at.
Yep.
But so one of the sites that I look at shows that he has 60% of his throws are happening after 2.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And the other percentage of his throws are only at 1.88, which was like top, I think it's top 10 in the league as far as getting the ball out quick. So like Monken does a good job, especially with the kind of the tunnel screens and the bubble screens, and he has different ways to get his time down, but his overall number goes up because when he extends, it's like him and Mahomes are like this. When they extend the play, they extend it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the results are usually outstanding. And now I want to kind of circle it back to the
can I ask you a question plays. About one thing? Yeah. You just said though. Now, you said 60% of his throws are basically on schedule, which would almost say to me there really isn't a problem with him making enough on schedule throws. But I think you hit on exactly what a lot of those are. It's a lot of tunnel screens, jet tosses, probably other ones that are on schedule but not in stride plays. So, mm-hmm. I'd make a difference between, you know, an on schedule throw that's in stride, play action to a tight end, that kind of thing. That's a wonderful potential breaker. You know, a nice slant route to a wide receiver, if you've got it, you know, particularly schemed upright, could be a really big play. Those are great things. A tunnel screen, any kind of a screen pass where the ball's out quickly, that's much less valuable in terms of the potential outcome there. I know that the Bengals live by that, and the Ravens say, go ahead, knock yourselves out all day when they play them. But anyway, I just want to say.
And I've heard or I've read that some coaches like Roman and some of that staff, like I read somewhere that he felt that those screens aren't worth the juice because, yes, you can hit it, but if it's not there, then like the play is kind of more or less dead unless your quarterback saves you. So it's kind of like a one read or possibly two reads if you tie it into a backside RPO, to something else, but it limits the options.
Yep. You're not making use of spreading the defense vertically either when you do it. You're allowing them to get congested on what usually is the strong side of the football field where your play is more likely to go to start with. Yep. So you got to be willing to spread that ball out. It's continually frustrating. But you had more on that time to throw component, right?
Yep. So quickly on those kind of like design, get the ball out of your hands quick. Like a lot of times, and you already are tracking on this, like that's the play caller's way of kind of like taking control and settling the quarterback down. So sometimes I can understand why Monken would do something like that. It's like, I want to settle things down, give him an easy completion to get him rolling. But on the time to throw, so I might have misspoke, but it's 60% of his passes come in 2.5 seconds or more. And the time to throw on those 60% of his throws I had 4.14 seconds.
Wow.
Which was third. And it's actually tied with Patrick Mahomes. So it's like him, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts. And then they're also the top guys as far as passer rating on those throws. So, like, they extend the ball, they hold it for a long time, and the result can be great. But I want to tie this back to where I was getting to the on schedule versus off schedule. So sometimes to extend the play, Lamar will take his 3-step or 5-step or even 7-step, and then he'll read it out, and then he'll see the front side of the progression, and then he'll hit it in stride. But then there's other times where he'll take his 3 or 5, 7-step, and he may or may not even be looking at the front side of the play because he might see something else on the backside, or he's looking for something particular that's not in the, like, in the timing. So he might not take the 3 or 5 steps because he's kind of like anticipating what the defense is doing. So it's in a way he's playing kind of above the X's and O's. And then I think Harbaugh's mentioned that he has a great feel for the game and he sees it well. So he's almost playing, he sees it very well, and he's almost playing instinctually. So there are times on like the all 22 is that he'll take a 3 or 5 step drop, and he'll be looking in a certain direction on the front side of a play, or at least his helmet will be looking in that direction, but then he's going to throw it somewhere else. So sometimes it looks like he's not targeting someone in the progression, but he's already made in his mind that he's going somewhere else with the ball, and his feet are aligned to throw to that other throw.
It's like the Montana no look pass. That's or anybody no look pass. That's certainly something that is going to be a great value. If Lamar is really able to do that on the fly, it's a good reason for him to probably wear a visored helmet, where the defensive backs cannot see his eyes. Because you wouldn't want to give that away if you could avoid doing it. But that's very cool. What else do you have to say about on schedule play?
So, in terms of taking the next level, and I wish that we could pull up some film from the KC game, but there's and then this happens not just. I mean, this happens to every QB, but the better QBs, as they develop the higher level of execution, like they kind of maximize. Like if you think about Drew Brees, is my favorite quarterback to think of in this way. Like his completion percentage was high because he was taking whatever the defense gave him, like right away. Mm-hmm. So. Sometimes Bateman, especially the X receiver in these offenses, in the run of the progression, like let's say they're doing like flood to the right, they have a short and they have a deeper, And then on the backside, they'll have like a deep in coming back across. So the quarterback will look, will take his five-step drop. He'll be looking towards his right. And then if stuff isn't open on that side, he might have the back coming out on the check down. But then he can reset and throw to the backside. So he'll have to change his feet and look to the backside of the play. And I'm not sure if you watch the QB school on JT.
Sullivan?
Yeah. So like he does some great breakdowns, and I can't remember. I think it was either the Houston game or the Dolphins game. And he was talking about how Beckham was on the backside of plays and Lamar almost never threw it. And then he made a comment, something like, the next time Lamar
Bateman
throws a backside.
Or Beckham?
Beckham.
Okay.
Yep. Beckham was on the backside of the play, and the next time that Lamar throws to the backside is going to be the first time.
That's fairly damning. And if you've got, if your multiple receivers are on that strong side of the field, and then you've got to turn back for Bateman, that would certainly answer a lot of the go a long way towards figuring out why Bateman's receiving statistics were so bad this last year. I mean, he got good separation, he got good separation at some point during the route. Let's put it that way. PFF measures him in very good separation. You get the information from other places. He ends up in the 30th percentile from one, but still, I think he's clearly is getting good separation at the top of the stem. And when that happens, that requires timing to come back and get him involved in the play. And, you know, Lamar just is not a very, he's not a click, 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 click quarterback who's measuring the play out in his head in tenths of a seconds or whatever, such that he knows where he's, you know, going back to. Just has never really been his thing to be anything but an off schedule quarterback.
Yep. I had a quote from Cosell, and he said something to the effect that, you know, Lamar may be a quarterback who always leaves some plays on the field. And I think that whether or not he can take this next step and be kind of more on schedule so that he can kind of prove those, you know, statements wrong. And I think he'll be able to make that jump, because I don't think it's a matter of that he can't do it, because he does it sometimes. And then when the games that he does it, it's like, how are you going to stop this kid?
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like he's the kid that has always been able to do it his way. And even to the point that he's been in the league thus far, he's a two-time MVP, and he's more or less done it his way. And last season, his plays that were 2.5 seconds or more, the percentage of those plays went up from the previous year. So it's not like he's looking to do it less. So it's like, I wonder if the difference of him being more disciplined and committing to the off-schedule plays will be the difference between him taking the next level and being a multiple Super Bowl, or, and then this is, I might be all over the place, but allow me for a second here. Mm-hmm. So I've heard and read the articles from Steve Young, and Steve Young mentions that, that he thinks that Lamar, and I don't want to get the verbatim, you know, I might not be exactly on point, but he says something to the effect that he thinks that Lamar could be not just the best player playing now, but he says that Lamar could be the best player ever. And I think he's looking at it in terms of if Lamar maximizes his ability to execute as a QB, where he's hitting he's hitting a higher percentage of the on schedule plays and reserves the ad lib plays or the improvisational plays only when needed so that he's able to punish the defense every time the defense tries to cage him in, then, I mean, I'm with Steve Young on that. I think that bar none.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Bar Mahomes, Josh Allen on his best day. I think if Lamar takes that next step to where he's more disciplined more often, and then it's a fine line to choose when to turn it on and turn it off. But if he's able to solve that puzzle, then I think we're talking about, you know, there won't be a question who's the best quarterback. And I think that he can get there.
All right. Now, one of the interesting things about this is we're still talking about Lamar's development entering year seven with two MVPs in the rearview mirror. And at no point, I don't think at any point, has Lamar indicated that he stopped doing work during the offseason to improve his positional skills. I think that's paid off from him since the year after his rookie year. His rookie year, he's pretty much a runner, and then he became a great passer in 2019, and he's kept up his work with his guru. That's been very positive. We've seen him change his body type. You know, this year he lost a lot of weight. Before, he gained some weight because he wanted to be more sturdy in terms of taking hits and whatnot. But he's certainly committed to his off-season activity. So it's not unbelievable. It's not unreasonable that his on-schedule plays would improve. I think it's also something we've seen in great quarterbacks before. If you look back to Brady or Manning or any of the quarterbacks, a Breeze probably too, as they became a little bit more noodle-armed late in their career, they became more on-schedule quarterbacks who could pack one or two fakes into, you know, a second to start a play and then still hit a slant pass. Yep. You know, it really is something that I could still see coming out of Lamar. I also could see more coming in terms of getting the line of scrimmage faster and doing some other things. We can't go into all that. We're talking about on schedule throws right now. I do think it'll kind of be natural. And some of this is just going to be natural evolution with age that I think comes with quarterbacks normally, because his running game is will start to desert him at some point. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, he's going to have to be a more accurate passer, a passer who relies less on having these extended plays.
Yeah. And in terms of the Brady and Breeze, I think a lot of people forget that early on, Brady was a game manager. Like the Brady that we saw toward the end and the Drew Brees that we saw toward the end was a 4 or 5 year in the process of becoming or evolving. And some would argue, I'm not one of those people, but some would argue that the Greg Roman offense delayed that process from happening. So, you know, some might make the argument that Lamar is a year or two behind where he should be. And that's what Steve Young has said. Like, Steve Young believes that if Lamar can become, I think the term he uses is a sophisticated passer. So if he can become a sophisticated passer, then he could be the best quarterback. And he believes that the offense and the passing game from previous years was the issue that wasn't allowing him to. Now, I don't want to disagree with Steve Young, but I think the part of Lamar's development in that area has to come from him. Like, he has to be the person that chooses to acknowledge that aspect of his game as a flaw and delve into that. And I think once he does that, that could be the difference. And I think that, you know, and maybe it's just coach speak, but I think that the offseason talks where, like, Harbaugh and DaCosta, and it seems to be unprompted, but you can't tell what they're being asked in the press conferences, but they both mentioned Bateman as saying that, you know, they see Bateman getting a lot more targets and that they acknowledge that he was getting open. So if they're talking about it in the media, then maybe that's going to be a point of emphasis for Lamar, and that could unlock him being more disciplined as a passer.
Okay. I agree with that. And I think that you said something really important there, that it's really Lamar has to make that choice to be the thing. And, you know, Lamar has been his hold up in at least one way that there is a way in which Monken can kind of, I think, improve the offense to fit Lamar better than it has. And that's in getting into the line of scrimmage quicker. Right now, there's some sort of gap going on in calling the play, relaying the play, you know, processing the play possibly in terms of Lamar hearing it properly and then being able to repeat it. There's some slowness to that. And part of the solution may have to be, at some point, just give him a formation. Let Lamar make the play call at the line of scrimmage or you know, give him a formation where there's two options, A and B, and he can just choose one of those. I thought they had a simpler system for it in years past, but they've never been able to get Lamar to the line of scrimmage quickly and with time. They cut out delay of game penalties last year. He didn't have any, but so that had been a problem in the past, but they have not been able to get him in the line of scrimmage with time on a regular basis, with time to change the play, time to make adjustments, time to read the defense at the line and do things. And if I had a frustration, that would be it. I don't know if that's 100% Monk, and it may be some Lamar in terms of his processing and relelaying skills, but boy, would it be nice to get that figured out as well. And it's nice that it's actually a good thing that there's two things that we can point to: on schedule throws and getting to the line of scrimmage quickly. And a quarterback has already won the MVP twice.
I know, okay? Right?
And you still got two things that you could significantly improve on. That really is a good thing.
Yep. And sometimes when I'm critical of Lamar's play, it's like I see a quarterback that could be like the best in the league. So I'm not looking at it from, oh, he just could be like, oh, top 15. Like, I seriously think that he could be the best quarterback in the NFL. And these are some of the steps that he has to take to get there. And as when it comes to getting to the line of scrimmage, I think this is one area where I will fault the previous system, because I think, and I've read this places, that Greg Roman comes from a system where they're using so much motion, and I don't want to blame it just on the motion, but it's like him as the coordinator, he's basically a call it and run it, and then you have a few checks here or there, but they're not kind of giving the reins to the quarterback. And and there's nothing wrong with that. I hear that the Shanahan's offense is very similar. Like, they don't just give up the control to the quarterback at the line. So now that he's with Monken's system, and I've heard them mention that this offseason as one of the areas where they're going to improve. And I'm with you. I think that if they're able to get to the line quicker and they can diagnose, hey, we're going to see this, this, and this, and we can check to this play with this primary and this route that can beat it, then I think it'll get the ball out of his hands quicker and will kind of force him to be more on schedule. So I think if they're able to get to the line soon, and then that's something that we'll see fairly early on.
We should see pretty quickly how that's working or not, if they're truly making a change to the offense to get there. I'm sure it's going to be a fun season, but I also want people to be very realistic about who Lamar Jackson is. There's several reasons why he's probably not going to be as good as he was last year. One is the offensive line is not there in front of him in the same capacity, so there'll be differences there. The other is just normal regression from, an MVP season. You would normally regress some from that. He's going to try and make up for that in a number of different ways, and hopefully Derrick Henry helps in a big way in terms of opening up even more play action, something they're pretty effective with last year. But it's just like I said after 2019, I said he'll never have another year like this. I won't say he'll never have another MVP season, because that could happen. I think it's very unlikely that he'll be as good in 24 as he was in 23.
Okay. I guess there's possibilities that, especially with the O-line, like that would be one of the, because there are question marks with three positions. But, I'm such a believer in Lamar's ability to take the next level. And even with the O-line having its problems, one of the ways to that a quarterback can help the O-line is to stay on schedule more. So if they run the ball more, yeah, and he stays on schedule, gets the ball out quicker, I'm always hopeful. Every single year that Lamar plays, I think that's going to be the Super Bowl year.
Well, I mean, so do I. I'm certainly hoping for it year after year, and I think all Ravens fans are. Another reason why he probably won't play as well is he might get hurt. That just is a significant portion of the total number of outcomes, is that he's gonna play less, and he's gonna potentially not play as well also even when he plays. But I'm it doesn't mean I'd want anybody else at quarterback than Lamar Jackson. I'm perfectly happy with it. The notion that Lamar Jackson is somewhere down below the fifth quarterback in the NFL is to me ridiculous, that he'd be in the top 15. Well, no, he's not. He's in the top three, the top four quarterbacks in the league, maybe. But, I can accept the fact that Mahomes is ahead of him, and we can talk about others in terms of Allen or Burrow or some other players. But, I think people want Lamar to be a great passer more than they want him to be a winner sometimes, particularly Baltimore Twitter people. they want that more than anything. They want 4,500 yards. If Lamar Jackson got 4,500 yards, it's a bad thing, folks. It means the Ravens aren't winning games by two touchdowns regularly. It means they're not trying to run out games. It means they're being forced to pass. And Lamar's capable of being effective under those circumstances, but it means the Ravens are not being as effective, probably on defense to start with.
Yeah. And it's funny because you follow expected points added. And the two, I haven't checked this year, but last year, the two highest EPA plays were a quarterback designed run And then number two was a quarterback scramble.
Okay.
So it's like, why would any fan, any offense, like it would be criminally, like it'll be coaching. It'll be a coaching crime to have Lamar not run.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. He'll run a little bit less as time goes on, but yeah, it'd be a crime. And it's a crime not to at least present that as a threat to the opponent. Just that alone, you know, causes all sorts of additional read steps by the linebackers. I mean, Gus Edwards was terrific, and he left Baltimore with the highest success rate on a per carry basis in the history of the National Football League. They had the stats since the mid 90s. He's the highest ever over the last 30 years. Henry has not been as good at Tennessee, but I think basically the function, because the Ravens overall were at 54% last year and Henry was at 46%. I think it's a function of Jackson primarily. So when he comes in, hopefully Henry and Jackson both help each other to a certain degree. I don't know if they can both be really force multipliers the way we want, but I think they should really open up the play action game again. I'm really looking forward to the Ravens hitting on that and freezing some linebackers with what they do with Henry and Lamar.
And I wonder what those numbers were for Gus prior to Lamar, because
there's no prior to Lamar for Gus. He's okay. He and Lamar basically started the same game.
Okay.
Remember, they both ran for 100 yards maybe in that game against Cincinnati that they came back and they won. But Gus, it was Gus's first game. He might have had a carry or two before that, but he hadn't had any play time. And Lamar had a few carries. And, you know, he'd been in every game. He'd played a few plays, but that was his first start. Yeah.
So maybe I'm thinking of the run game as a whole prior mm-hmm. to, because the run game as a whole prior to wasn't all that great. And then once those two were inserted, then it shot up.
Yeah. He's the biggest single factor in this. That's why I think Aaron Schatz really missed on his MVP vote, not making it unanimous. Aaron wants to look at Lamar's passing statistics, but he doesn't really care to look at how good is this offense and how much better did Lamar make every other player on offense. And you could even argue every player on defense as well by keeping the Ravens on the field. And, it's not about fourth quarter comebacks if you're never down in the fourth quarter. Let's put it that way. It's about wins, and it should be. The biggest thing, holding Lamar back, which didn't hold him back in the MVP voting, because the MVP voting occurs prior to the playoffs. But the thing that held him back holds him back in terms of being really recognized as the best quarterback in the game, I would say, has been his playoff record. So hopefully that'll improve, and the Lamar and the rest of the team will settle into what they are, which is one of the top franchises in the NFL and converted as some playoff wins.
And you made a great point about Derrick Henry and the play action game, because that's another way to stay on schedule is to do play action. And I could see them, I'm kind of old school where like, I don't mind people running the ball more than they pass it, or even balanced, 50-50. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind seeing a Lamar under center with Derrick Henry behind him and getting some of those inside zones with the boot fake coming back around mm-hmm. as a play action basis. And we've talked about this before. If we can run the ball well this year with the young O-line that's coming together, that could go a long way to protecting them and keeping Lamar on schedule.
Yeah. That group is so critical to the Ravens' success, to Lamar's success, to everything. But I'm picking up momentum in terms of confidence in the Cleveland and Voorhees tandem, at least at guard, which I think is a lot of the run game. Things could fall apart at right tackle, or they could be really good. It's a high variance position with some combination of Fa'alele and Rosengarten playing there. If Rosengarten is ready and he can play, no problem. If Stanley gets hurt and Rosengarten has to move to the left, or somebody else is not so good, maybe Josh Jones is in at right tackle and doesn't really play all that well. We could see a slip there, certainly. But I think if the guard play is good, the running game will probably be good.
And And I'm thinking, as when it comes to Stanley, can Stanley, I guess he could be as bad as he was last year, but I think he almost has to be better if he's healthier than if he says he's healthier. But then again, who's going to say they're not healthier? But if he's healthier than he was last year, I almost feel like, doesn't he have to be better?
I'm happy he feels better right now. I take the greatest evidence that Stanley will have a better season for me is the last four games of last year. And he played very well. And I think he could leverage that and maybe turn that. He's looked like a different player on the field too. He's much more aggressive at keeping the pocket further away from Lamar instead of kind of slowly dying, which has been a strategy that's worked very well for him over the years and works very well with Lamar. But he's just looked different those last four games. And that's the biggest positive. It's nothing anybody says. I can't, you know, you hit the nail on that. What are they going to say? The surgery was unsuccessful. Boy, it was a mess in there. I just couldn't make it work. All the things that I had some leftover parts, and you don't want to hear that. All right, Kofi, always a pleasure to talk football with you, my friend. Can you tell people where they can talk football with you online?
Online, I'm a poster on Russell Street Report. I'm going to post more now than I used to. I'm under the name Ed Romeo, and I'm also on Twitter or X at K Brizzles.
All right. Outstanding. Kofi's a great guy to tag into your conversations on Lamar, on wide receivers. Have a Miles Boykin topic you want to talk about? He's your guy. I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
But anyway, other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a Film Study Short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. You know the rules by now on how you're doing this. If you want to do something nice for the show, you're still listening at this point, write us a 50-word review on any of your podcast platforms. That does a long way. It goes a long way in terms of driving traffic to us, and we really always appreciate that as well. Kofi, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time
on Film Study. Absolutely.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Working hard is worth it if you're seeing results. And when it comes to working out, the same thing is true. You want the maximum benefit in the time you have, and that's exactly what Tonal is built for. And with their latest iteration, Tonal 2, you can ensure your workout is more tailored and effective than ever. Tonal's at-home strength training system uses adaptive weight to learn from your movement and set the optimal weight for every move, adjusting in 1-pound increments up to 250 pounds, challenging even the most advanced users to push their limits. You can also experience a full body burn with the new Aero HIIT workouts, the perfect blend of heart-pumping cardio and strength. Plus, the new built-in Smart View leverages a high-resolution camera that lets you see yourself during your workout, analyzes your movement, and provides real-time coaching, just like a personal trainer. Right now, Tonal is offering our listeners $200 off your Tonal purchase with promo code 200TONAL. That's Tonal.com, and use promo code 200TONAL for $200 off your purchase. That's Tonal.com. Promo code 200TONAL for $200 off.